The 100 Years' War, the first interim period, 1340-1345, England's aid to Brittany. Now, the main point of the treaty that Edward III had made with Monet de Clisson was to dispatch an army to a province in France 2 months before the current truce with Philip VI expired. The reaction of Edward's Low Country allies isn't recorded, but certainly can be guessed at. The leaders of the Low Countries had also signed the truce that Edward III now proposed to violate, and the result could very well be a French counterattack against the Low Countries. Plus, the Low Country princes had no interest at all in Brittany. So the English alliance with the Low Country princes was very strained and was far worse than the past issues of simply having unpaid debts. And worse, Edward III could not just ignore the Low Country leaders. Edward still valued their capacity to tie down large numbers of French troops on the great open frontier to the north. At the end of March 1342, after obscure deliberations within the English government, Edward III was persuaded to appoint representatives to attend another peace conference between the French and the princes of the Low Countries, which was due to open at Condé in Brabant on April the 14th, 1342. Meanwhile, in Paris, Philip VI had his attention also fixed upon the Low Countries. Philip finally came to the conclusion that after 50 years, the Low Countries theater was no longer a decisive area. On April the 11th, 1342, Philip VI called the French army to gather at Arras on the day of the last truce when it was due to expire. That's June the 24th, 1342. Back in England, the South and the West English troops were told to be ready by early May to proceed to their assigned ports for embarkation to Brittany. The French, however, decided not to wait. As soon as the local ceasefire between the Countess de Montfort and Philip VI expired, which was April the 15th, 1342, the French attacked. The easternmost outposts of the Montferrat party, which was Rennes, on this occasion, the Count, shall we say, Charles of Blois, was in command of with his chief lieutenants, who happened to be the brother, Louis, the Count of Blois, and Louis of Spain, princely adventurer. It was a real polite name for someone who looking to make money while providing very little. But because Philip VI was still anxious to preserve the main truce, Charles of Blois and his associates had to raise their own troops, which resulted in their army having small numbers of men-at-arms and consisted mostly of their own retainers, Breton lords from regions loyal to Charles of Blois. Most of the army was made up of Italian and Spanish seamen. Aitan Doria was in Charles's services, and probably Carlo Grimaldi as well. Their ships were laid up in Normandy, so 2,000 to 3,000 of the Italian sailors became archers and infantry. The Spaniards were drawn from the crews of a squadron of galleys that had been hired by Louis of Spain. Charles of Blois had no difficulty in taking Rennes. It was too far from the Montfort's heartland to be relieved and too large to be defended by a small garrison. At the beginning of May 1342, the citizens of Rennes decided that resistance was simply hopeless, so the commander of the city was asked to surrender. When he refused, he was arrested, and the city gates were opened. The fall of Rennes was then followed by the submission of almost all of the remaining supporters of John de Montfort in the what is known as the Francophone regions of eastern Brittany, which is not a surprise, and that was not a surprise to the Countess as well. That's why they were further and further west. Shortly after Charles of Blois entered Rennes, Walter Monet finally arrived with English advance guards at Brest, at the opposite extremity of Brittany. However, this was not a glorious fleet of ships arriving with large numbers of troops to save the countess. It was actually a pitiful force of men. 34 men-at-arms and 200 mounted archers. Not exactly what they were expecting. In addition, it came with function limits. It was required for simply securing the coastal town, principally Brest itself. Mauny had been told not to attack troops of the French crown while the main truce with Philip VI remained in force. Instead, he turned the occasion to his own advantage by a brief plundering raid against the turncoat Hervé de Lion, Charles of Blois' only significant supporter in the far west. Not long after landing, the English attacked the fortified manor house at Tregrentaire, where Hervé was staying. The English attacked at dawn, burned down the doorway, and captured the surprised occupants almost without bloodshed. Prisoners included Hervé de Lion, 6 ransomable noblemen, that's always good, and a large number of lesser men. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't worth anything. They were worth something to Mauny's men, but not necessarily to Mauny. There are all kinds of chronicles and stories of Mauny's great deeds against the French in the summer of 1342, but they're just that, stories. The truth was, Mauny, neither he nor the Countess had the strength to attack Charles of Blois, and they basically did nothing for most of May and June in 1342. And on the other hand, Charles of Blois ignored Mauny's presence. Charles of Blois, you know, his brother was sent to invest Venise. And he also took the majority of his army and marched towards Enbon, which is, of course, where the Countess de Montfort was located. But it is, if you remember, it's an excellent fortification. It's not going to be easy to take. So that is where we stand at this point. But I'm afraid the Countess is running out of options at this point. Now, the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, the Hundred Years' War by Perrault, and the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle, by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the links, especially the Citizen Gracchus site. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.